Bank First is a locally owned bank that makes decisions right here at home. Local decisions, local support, and local folks who care if your kid made the team. Stop by your local Bank First branch to learn more. Bank First, neighbors, bankers, friends. Bank First is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Bank NMLS 454063.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, putting a spotlight on homegrown Mississippi-based businesses, made in Mississippi products, and their impact on your community and the Magnolia State. Now, your hosts, Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner.
Well, to a degree, Melissa will be here a little bit later on in the program, but glad that you're with us on this Tuesday as we talk about local entrepreneurs, local business owners, the decision to start a business in Mississippi and what that relationship with the state and local area has meant. I'm Kelly Sanner. Glad that you're with us. Don't forget, you can always reach out to us on our Facebook page at Shop Local Mississippi. Find out what the show is all about. And we'd love to have you on the program as well, so you can reach out to us on that Facebook page as well. Joining us on the show today is Ben Green, a native of the Hattiesburg area. Was educated. He was an Aggie at Forest County Agricultural High School, went on to Pearl River College and then to Southern Miss. And then at some point went to the Brewers School, the Beer Brewing College or whatever you want to, we're going to talk about that up in Wisconsin. But he is the founder, CEO, and master brewer, I guess we're going to get all these terms straightened out, with Southern Prohibition Brewery in Hattiesburg, SoPro, as most people know about it. Hard to believe, Ben, as we welcome you to the show, that it's been 13 years that SoPro has been in business. We welcome you.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. It's one thing to open a business. Okay, well, let's open a boutique or let's things that don't have a lot of moving parts. But a brewery, I mean, you've got to have a lot of expertise before you ever even open the doors. So let's talk about the genesis of the idea and how you got started personally.
Yeah, you know, I think some of that's just being extremely bullheaded too and just bulldozing through and having an idea in your head and saying, hey, we're going to make this happen. And I think that, you know, at the time, the craft beer wave was just starting to crest. You know, there were not many breweries in the state. Lazy Magnolia was the only one at that point. And, you know, craft beer was kind of a hot button topic at that point. People in other states around us were really loving it. And more were popping up, and it was becoming mainstream. So, you know, it was kind of worth taking that leap. You know, it helps when you're a little bit young and a little bit naive, and, you know, you can kind of put in some of that hard work and brush off the falls and get up and keep going.
But it's a difference between brewing beer at home, which yep. is kind of where you started, which I think at the time was illegal.
Yeah, it was illegal. I'm an outlaw.
Why? I don't know. But then to find a building, purchase equipment, you had to have a lot of money, all this. So how did you sell the idea to other people to get on board?
Yeah, well, so my current partner, Quimby Chun, he had purchased a building years before we had opened the brewery with hopes of opening a brewery. He's from Texas. He went to Siebel Beer Institute as well, so he's got some beer schooling. And we met up at the Keg and Barrel, and like most things that happen at Keg and Barrel, ideas and over a couple beers turn into reality.
And written on a napkin, no doubt.
Yeah,
no,
you know, and that's kind of where a lot of this started. And it was us just sharing good times and stories and laughs, and that slowly just kind of became more and more geared towards like, hey, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? Like, let's open this brewery.
The people around you, loved ones, so to speak, what was their reaction when you said, we're going to pull the trigger on this? We're going to get it done.
You know, I think that my family was very supportive. I think that they saw a lot of the passion that I had for the making and craftsmanship of making craft beer. So they were pretty positive. And, you know, I have some I have some Bible thumping relatives as well, some staunch Southern Baptist grandparents and stuff. And I think once they kind of saw what all was entailed in the making of it, they were like, "Well, this is an actual operation."
It's an art form to a degree.
It's science meets art,
right?
And I think they were a little bit more open about sharing what their family was doing once they kind of saw the legitimacy of it.
So you had to have like a punch list when you immediately opened some things that you wanted to get done. And then what were realistic expectations when you opened the door in downtown Hattiesburg?
Yeah, you know, I think that at the time it was illegal for us to have a tap room and to sell beer directly to a consumer. So everything had to go through the three-tier system and a distributor and be sold in bars, restaurants, gas stations, grocery stores, that kind of thing. So I think, you know, we immediately knew that's where we needed to be focused. So we were less focused on the on-site experience. And, you know, with having product in gas stations and grocery stores, we've got to have package, whether that's cans or bottles. So, you know, that was kind of one of the big first things on the punch list was, hey, do we do cans? Do we do bottles? We obviously went with cans for several different reasons. And, you know, obviously at the time we were like one of the first breweries in Mississippi to be canning beer. You know, Lady's Magnolia had bottled. So we kind of thought that set us apart. And from there, that kind of set the tone of, hey, we're trying to stand out a little bit more, whether that's the beers that we're making, the flavors that we're trying to get to come through, the names we're naming them, the people we're bringing in and collaborating with. You know, we really wanted to do something a little bit different that hadn't been done before.
You mentioned names, and I'm going to throw out a few. Berserker Mode, which mm-hmm. is my favorite. Susie B.
Yep.
Fire Ant.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd Control. Now, those are not your run-of-the-mill beer names.
They're not.
So where did those ideas, among others, come from?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, especially early on, I think high watermark for us might have been 2018. I think I came up with 100 different beers that year. Some of those were small batch, and at that point, we were legally allowed to have a tap room, so some of those were through the tap room, but over 100 different beers. And I think I take inspiration from all over the place. And sometimes the name comes before anything else, you know, and it's just kind of strange how some of that happens. But always go after something that is a little bit odd, something that is a little bit memorable, something that kind of sits on your tongue, something that's just, like I said, different than some of the other breweries that are around us in the Southeast.
But does the name have to fit the taste of the beer necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think sometimes that is true, but, you know, I think for the most part, it's just like, hey, this is a really cool, memorable name. Let's run with this, you know?
Well, Susie B, for example, that mm-hmm. has to be a real person.
Yeah. So, well, Susie B's a little bit of Susie B and I would say Fire Ant are two of the exceptions to the rule there. Susie B, you know, when we first opened up, that's the first beer we ever made. It's our OG. It's our Blondale. If you're not familiar with Blondales, that's kind of like a gateway beer from like macro beers, Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light, into craft beer. It's, you know, the flavor is pretty balanced. It's pretty easy drinking. It's crisp. I say it's beer flavored beer. It's not going to offend anybody one way or the other from a taste standpoint. So it was like, hey, we need something that, you know, back in the day would have cost a Susan B. Anthony. It needs to cost a buck. You know, and it was like, hey, we'll call it Susie B. And, you know, that name just kind of stuck. And I think that early on, a lot of our beers were a lot of the characters on our beer, because that's another element of the brewery in the beginning, was we had female characters on our beers. And a lot of those female characters were females in being empowered almost. So, you know, the original Susie B. can is kind of a prohibition era dress girl changing attire, you know. So I think it was, it once again, just trying to stick out and be a little bit different, and, you know, using a platform to kind of spread a little bit of a different message that other people weren't doing.
Now, one year that you talked about, that you came up with about 100 different beers. Obviously, yeah. We're talking about process. We're talking about flavors. So what makes a good beer flavor, and how do you decide? And again, I go back to Berserker Mode because it's my go-to beer, which is mm-hmm. kind of a combination of coffee and chocolate,
yeah.
or cocoa, whatever. And people will go, I can't imagine that. Well, when they taste it, though, they'll always go, oh my gosh, that is really good. So how do you come up with these different flavor ideas, and how do you decide it is going to work or no, we're not doing this?
I think that's one of my best skill sets that you know, especially early on that I brought to the table was kind of mentally thinking of these flavors and then bringing them all together to make something happen. You know, when I was brewing at home, there was a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of trying stuff. Same thing at the Keg and Barrel a little bit. When the production brewery opened up our current location in 2013, you know, there was no, there's no sample or trial batches. You know, it's a full-fledged production run. So if you mess something up, you're dumping it. You know, so the bar was high, and you know, just being really locked in and, you know, trying some benchtop stuff before you actually jump both feet in. But I think, like I said, that's just one of the things that I've excelled at is taking those flavors and putting them together and making something out of it.
When we continue our discussion with Ben Green from Southern Prohibition in Hattiesburg, we're going to talk about how one local business like SoPro gets together with other local businesses into the Brewing Act. And we're also going to talk about the partnership with a school that's very dear to him, Southern Miss, and how the Southern Miss Athletic Department got together with SoPro. So much more to talk about with Ben Green from Southern Prohibition, and we'll do that after we do these.
Now back to Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Melissa will be rejoining us here in a little bit. We continue our discussion with Ben Green. Do we call you Master Brewer? What is your title specifically? Besides Jack of All Trades?
I mean, you know, there for a while I was calling myself just Head Brewer because okay. Master Brewer sounded so pretentious and just, you know, some old German miser or something. So, you know, now I just call myself a navigator.
Okay.
I'm just steering the ship.
Good enough. And of course, father of two and having a lot of fun at Southern Prohibition, which the city of Hattiesburg has really embraced. It's been a great partnership. But again, this is a local independent business guy who, much younger at the time, obviously, says this is what we're going to do. And it's happening, and they're all over the place now across the South, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, over in Georgia. And I want to talk, as we went into the break, about partnerships that you have, that Southern Pro, SoPro has forged with other companies, specifically Grin Coffee Company, mm-hmm. because again, here's my berserker mode again, there's Grin Coffee that goes into that recipe. And then we'll talk about the Southern Miss Athletics connection and how that happened. Let's start with Grin.
Yeah, so... You know, it takes a lot of coffee to make beer. You know, the coffee pot's always brewing at the brewery. The brewery, they get early morning starts, you know. So the coffee is flowing. And I think that for those that know Tommy Teeple over at Grin, him and his family, they are just good as gold. I knew immediately it was like, well, you know, we're so community-minded when we're doing a coffee beer. Why would I not try to use some beans that are locally, you know, that's another pillar of the community down here. So it was a no-brainer. And, you know, we've been doing that beer for years now. And that's one of my favorite parts of late summer, early fall every year is meeting up with Tommy and kind of trying some different beans because we switch the beans out occasionally. Just kind of picking different notes out to slightly change it and just see what's out there. And, you know, sometimes he's able to get some interesting stuff that he's normally not able to get. And it's just really flourished, and it's one of our favorite seasonals that we do.
And Berserker Mode, as you just mentioned, is a seasonal beer. What determines whether a beer is seasonal or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, traditionally that was seasonals were because of mainly the weather. So, you know, you had to make dark beers to get you through the winter. They warmed you up. They tend to have more alcohol, that kind of thing. With, you know, modern refrigeration and transportation and stuff, all, you know, it's more just a personal preference now. People like to drink lighter things during the summer, more fruitier things. It's hot. It's really hot down here in South Mississippi. So, you know, the seasons still play a role in it, but it really just comes down to people's personal preference.
Okay, we talked about Grin. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, you were on shows on Super Talk Mississippi, like the Eagle Hour, talking about this partnership with the Southern Miss Athletic Department. There's a, to the top, there was, and I'm trying to remember the original one.
Gold Rush.
Gold Rush, there you go, that came out, that was available for football fans at M.M. Roberts Stadium. Talk about that relationship and how that started.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's kind of maturing and growing in its own way, and I think more and more people are really getting on board with that. You know, and when we were designing that beer, it was like, hey, what is going to appeal to the most people during a football game? You know, football and light beer kind of go hand in hand. So, you know, it was a no-brainer to try to get a light tasting beer in there. You know, currently, you know, we rebranded that, I think, 2 years ago. It's Southern Skies now. So, you know, working with the athletic department's been great. They're very much on board with that beer and getting it out there and, you know, helping another person in the community, you know, give back.
Well, we hope that you don't call one of your beers the Huff, where people will drink one and then leave.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet with that one. Huh?
Yeah, we want to make sure that they have more than one, you know, and stay. So when you, I want to back up to the beginning of the business. You had to have a timeline with you and your business partners saying, okay, we're going to give this a shot for 2 or 3 years or whatever, and if we haven't achieved X goal, then maybe we need to rethink this. Can you take us through your business plan and what you were kind of thinking at the time, even though it's been 13 years?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the beginning, it was just like, okay, these small steps. The first beers that we sold were at the downtown Crawfish Jam. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That takes place at the Walthall. You know, and that was such a great community event. There's so many people that come out there, so many downtown people. It really kind of helped solidify. People like, oh, there's a brewery. This is just new beer. So it was a great unveiling party, so to speak. And I think that we were just trying to get little wins, you know, and it was like, hey, every tap handle we can get in town, like that's a win, you know, whether it's Chesterfield's or Sully's or, you know, wherever we can get it at, the Keg and Barrel. So Hattiesburg in general really embraced us. You know, it just seems like the town kind of threw their arm around us and quickly was like, hey, this is our brewery. So, you know, we felt we were getting taken care of in our backyard, which was a great feeling. And, you know, the next steps from there are just venturing out and doing the same thing in Jackson, Mississippi, doing the same thing on the Gulf Coast. And then you start looking at, you know, your neighboring states, and all the while trying to just balance, hey, can I make enough beer to sell in these new markets while also maintaining growing sales in my current market? So, you know, being hyper-focused in, you know, like I said, just trying to get one more shelf placement or one more tap handle.
One of the things that I really like about SoPro, besides the product, obviously, is that as an older person, it allows me to stay relevant and connected with a younger population because, and I mean this with love in my heart, truly, a lot of the people that frequent downtown areas do not look like me. You know, they're the younger, more progressive college students, you know, just much younger people who maybe have different views on things. And I find that refreshing just to get to be around different types of people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think I've always respected John Neal over at the Keg and Barrel because that has always been a hub of bringing, you know, different people together over a pint of beer to laugh, to cry, to discuss. And I think that, you know, we've really tried to get our own version of that community and bringing people together and letting everybody feel welcome. And, you know, discussion's great, and having people come in and share beers is a great time for people.
This is a show about, of course, local businesses. Would you have ever thought about opening Southern Prohibition anywhere other than Hattiesburg?
A million times. I think that, you know, opening a brewery in Mississippi in 2013 when we did was, I mean, it was probably the hardest state at the at the time to open a brewery in, you know. I'll always say, if you can make it in Mississippi, you can make it anywhere.
Not New York, but Mississippi, right, when it comes to beer?
No doubt. So I think that it was a lot of hurdles. It made us battle strong and battle tested, and I think that's one of the things that's, you know, kept us going over a decade now, is we've seen a lot of things change, and we were in a very uphill environment in the beginning.
Has the legislature gotten better?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've there's been lots of people that have worked really hard over the last 10, 12, 13 years to get a lot of things changed. You know, I used to have to tell people, you know, Mississippi has the worst beer laws in the world, and we're at a point now where I don't have to say that. There's other states that have it worse off than us. So yeah, it's been great being able to meet lobbyists, meet legislators, and meet people that are about Mississippi putting money back into Mississippi. And a lot of people are seeing, like, hey, this is providing jobs, this is providing culture, it's providing entertainment. You know, these are all good things for the community.
Taxes.
No doubt.
They're going to get their share of that, too.
Absolutely.
Ben Green is with us from SoPro, also, well, it's called SoPro, but Southern Prohibition Brewery in Hattiesburg. All right, Ben, kind of put you on the spot. The worst flavor idea you ever had was what?
I think one time I tried to do a Belgian beer, and I tried to put some lavender in it, and it came across pretty soapy.
Yeah. Well, if you had a dirty mouth,
yeah,
you know, maybe your language was bad, maybe it would help.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one obviously didn't work.
That one didn't work.
What's the one you're most proud of?
I mean, probably Crowd Control. That's our number one brand. Crowd Control celebrated 10 years last year. It is constantly Mississippi's number one rated beer. It's becoming iconic, so to speak, in the Southeast. And yeah, I'm just really proud of A, originally what that became, but B, just a level of consistency and quality that the team's able to maintain with that beer. Just you crack open a fresh Crowd Control and it's just delicious.
I'm guessing, though, that Susie B is your biggest seller?
Crowd Control is.
It is.
Yeah. Susie B was our biggest seller for the first several years, and then slowly but surely Crowd Control started taking that spot.
So Crowd Control is a year-round beer.
It is a year-round Imperial IPA.
Well, Ben, it is great to catch up with you. We're super proud of you venturing out and doing what you've done and being rewarded for that. And any way that the city of Hattiesburg has reciprocated that love, we're glad that has happened as well. We wish you nothing but continued success, and thanks for being with us.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Ben Green of Southern Prohibition in downtown Hattiesburg. We've got more local entrepreneurs and their ideas as to why they've done what they've done when Shop Local Mississippi continues after these local commercial messages.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Welcome back to the Shop Local Mississippi show. ShopLocalMississippi.org. Send us an email. We'd love to have you on the show to promote your organization or business in Mississippi. That email address is shoplocalms@yahoo.com. Keep up with us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. Today, we are very excited to have Dalton and Shelly Hudson, husband and wife team that own Hudson WW Fence Company right here in Purvis, Mississippi. And I would imagine that you probably service other areas throughout the state. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into business and how everything got started in Purvis.
Well, my grandpa, he kind of started the business. He had retired from the sawmill business back in around 88, 89, and he said he got bored, and he just started building fences and retaining walls and doing all kind of little odds and ends stuff, and it just ended up taking off. And I grew up working with him and doing that type of business, and eventually, I just took it over.
The fencing business back then, about what year was that? when your grandpa started it?
I would say he started about 97 and 98, somewhere around in there. And just really just to kill time, and it ended up turning into something bigger.
Back then, had the like the siding and the other materials come along, or were we just working with wood back then?
Well, he did a lot of wire and he did a lot of wood fencing because he grew up, you know, in the cattle business, so he already had an idea of how to lay out fencing properly so they could work the cows and all that. So, you know, we did a lot of that farm fencing, and he had grew up doing it, so he just knew it.
I told my kids the other day, my boys are 12, and we own and operate a farm, live there, look out the window, see the cows. He said, Mama, he said, I learned how to mend and string barbed wire the other day. And that's something that's a lost art these days. And I looked at him and I said, would you believe your mama knows how to do that too?
Well, you're almost an alien then, because that's pretty tough stuff.
It is. But that's so awesome to grow up like you did, you and your wife in the country, and learn those basic skills. You know, that's very rare these days. So the fencing company evolved with different materials as technology came along. And so today, what different materials do you offer to your customers?
Well, in all honesty, I don't do a lot of the wire fencing anymore, and I do a lot of fencing still, but most of it's like privacy fence, I just go get my materials from Economy Supply, and then I have another style fence, like a four-rail wood fence that we build a lot of. It's kind of like our custom fence, what we're known for, and, you know, I get a lot of that material from Purvis Forest Products there in Purvis, and mm-hmm. then... That happens to be my uncle owns that place, so I have access to some of the best material you can put your hands on, and that's what kind of puts us ahead in that game mm-hmm. right there.
On those four panel fences, which I know we have a lot out at our farm, some shorter, and then like for the horses, we have the taller ones. Mm-hmm. What other materials have come out? You know, it looks like wood.
All I use is wood. You know. Mm-hmm.
Do you still stand by wood and say that's just the best as far as durability and weather resistant?
I do. Certainly feel maintenance at every few years. You know, it doesn't hurt to to stain it, or, you know, if you want to. But I meant your best bet is just if you get the quality material we have, mm-hmm. yeah, it'll be there.
I know with all the subdivisions and, my gosh, the development going on around town, you know, just clear farmland it gets less and less every day with all the developments. Do you do a lot of subdivision privacy fences and such?
Oh, yes, man. We go in, and I meant it's not our favorite thing to do, but we do. We go in all these subdivisions and do these little privacy fences and stuff. But, you know, we do a lot of fencing, and we build a lot of pole barns too, and we do the retaining walls and okay. seawalls. And right now, that's what we're doing in Beaver Lake. Is we're building a retaining wall for another guy, and we do that stuff all the time.
Retaining wall is against water.
Yes, well, okay. I guess your retaining wall would be, you could put that anywhere that it would retain dirt, but I guess the seawall would be more of you know, where it's up against water, but I just call it a retaining wall. It's still the same thing.
Dalton, when Melissa was talking about materials, it seems to me from driving around the area and so on that vinyl fencing is getting to be more of a thing, you know, and that really has come along in probably the last five. And I wonder if, because wood will never go out of style, I wonder if vinyl fencing somewhere down the road, somebody go, ooh, that, I can tell you when that was put up, because vinyl was hot, you know, at that time.
Yeah, I've only installed a couple of the rail fences, and this has been years ago that was vinyl. But as far as like any privacy fences and pergolas or anything, I haven't never used that material, which I meant, hey, the timber industry and the wood industry is what built my family. So, I mean, I can't stray too far away from that.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you. And you talked about doing business with other Purvis businesses. You know, it's kind of scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And word of mouth, we've learned, is always the best way of getting the word out of what you do. But how do you market your business, and how has that changed with the advent of social media and so on?
Well, you know, of course, on Facebook, I don't do a lot of advertising. I just post the jobs that we do. And then the rest of it's just been word of mouth. I mean, it just, like I said, between the little bit of Facebook, and I get a few strangers, but not a lot of them, you know.
Yeah. So when you started the business, how many people did you have, and how has it grown?
Oh, gosh. It kind of blows my mind, honestly, how much it grew. I would have never thought that it would have took off like it did. And then the guys that I had working for me, they're so much smarter than in just fencing. I mean, like I said, we'll go in and remodel your house. You know, like we'll come in and do anything, you know, and because we're capable of doing it. We have the tools. I have the equipment.
But how many people started when the business took off, and what have you grown to now?
Okay, well, it was me, Shelly, and my dad, Wayne, that's where we started at. And then I went down from there to maybe one person, and then I've had, you know, a couple of people. But right now, I have three teenagers, and
Wait a minute, you've got some teenagers that are willing to work?
Oh yeah, man. My oldest son and two of his buddies, they graduated early. So, I mean, they're great hands.
Like, that's awesome.
They're there every day. And then I have two other guys besides them. And then myself, I work on the job too. I don't just ride around.
And I want to ask you about that too, because your name is on the business. And I've heard business owners over the years say, look, the only thing you're guaranteed to have is your name. So I'm going to make sure if my name is on it, that the quality is going to go in it. Can you kind of pick up on that?
Oh, yeah. It's going to – I could trust my other guys. I know it'd be right. But, I mean, we're going to make sure it's definitely right, you know. And then, well, I like it. I enjoy it. I mean, I'm here to work.
Because where word of mouth helps a business, that's also the number one thing that can kill a business.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard people say, well, that company may have my money, but I got my story, and I'm going to tell it.
Especially in the South, word of mouth is.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
Either make you or break you.
And y'all, you know, integrity means a lot to you. Standing by the product. So do you offer back end support, customer service?
Oh yeah.
Needs after the job's done.
Yeah, I mean, if something isn't exactly right, well, I'll tell you what my grandpa always did. Is he said, you ain't got to pay me unless you like it. We don't take no money up front. You pay me after the job's done and you like it. So, I mean, and I've always stood by that, and I think it's just built trust with people. I mean, we'll take on these massive projects, and I don't take a dime until it's after it's done, but I've yet to have nobody pay me, mm-hmm. so.
And Shelly's with us. We don't want to leave her out over there. She's probably the pants behind the whole operation. I know that she plays a big part, back end support for y'all.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Look, she'll start seeing that money go out real fast for material and stuff, and she gets a little nervous.
She lets y'all know if you're going to get supper or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, hey, what's going on? what happened?
Shelly, do you get some funny stories coming home sometimes? Like neighbor kind of stories, yes. With putting up the fences and such? And I'm sure that y'all never leave the, you know, back in the day, the neighbors would, you'd hear the story about a peephole, you know, or where they argue back and forth. So I bet those fences have to be taller than the neighbor. That way they can't look over, huh?
A good neighbor fence.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it.
Dalton, when people do reach out to you for whatever they're in the market for, how much of it do they already really know what they want, and how much do you have to kind of hold their hand through?
Well, most of the time the strangers, like in the subdivisions and stuff, they don't really know exactly what they want. But then I've got a couple of customers that have horses and stuff, and I mean, they're just like, hey, I want this here, that there, and we already know what materials we're going to use, and they already know what they want. So I would say 50-50, you know.
Does anybody do chain link anymore?
Oh, yeah, man. I don't fool with it that much. I mean, I have built some.
Yeah.
But it's just the other guys, the other fencing companies up here in Hattiesburg, they've kind of got that on lockdown. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, I'll do my stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
What about animal pens, dog pens? Do you do any of that?
Well, I tell people I make a living off keeping cows, horses, and dogs in, because a lot of people build privacy fences. That's to keep their dog in. So, I mean, yeah, I would call that an animal pen, but I can come in and build you anything. If you wanted a sandbox or an animal pen or if you wanted a pergola, it don't matter.
Something to keep the in-laws out?
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. We're keeping either humans in or humans out or cows in or horses out.
Well, we'll be right back after this commercial break. We're so happy to have y'all here today. WW Hudson Fence Company out of Purvis, Mississippi. We'll be right back after the break.
You're tuned in to Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Center on Super Talk Hattiesburg.
Welcome back to the Shop Local Mississippi show, shoplocalmississippi.org. Send us an email. We'd love to have you on the show to represent your organization or business. That email address is shoplocalms@yahoo.com. Keep up with us on Facebook, all things happening Shop Local Mississippi. Today, we are welcoming back Hudson Fence Company out of Purvis, Mississippi. We have Shelley and her husband today, owners of the Hudson Fence Company. Welcome back, guys. Before the break, we were talking about the different materials that you use for fencing and to keep in cows, to keep in animals, to have a little privacy from the neighbors with all of these developments going on and subdivisions popping up. That's a hot topic these days. So go see Hudson Fence Company in Purvis, Mississippi. They provide not only the Purvis, Hattiesburg area, but also surrounding. And they stand behind their product. We talked about integrity a lot. Talking about that, keeping the animals in, Michael, our producer, and I were discussing before the show today how we both foster animals from time to time. And I know with the cold weather, the animal shelters, they're just overcrowded. So I just want to let everybody know that if you're thinking about even fostering an animal, they do that. You know, they'll let you foster an animal. Go see Hunts and Fits Company, and they'll be happy to help you throw up a fence for that animal. Very simple process. What else can we talk about today? We've talked about materials. How do folks get in touch with you?
Well, they can look me up on Facebook. It's Hudson WW Co. And they can reach me through there. Sometimes I have a bad habit of not checking Messenger that much. So, you know, so if besides that, they can reach me on my telephone number.
And you work in the grind with your folks, and that's one reason why it might take you a little while to get back.
Yeah,
to
you're
somebody.
Not gonna get me on. You're not gonna get me on Messenger during business hours.
Your elbows and knee, all knees in. Yeah. And Shelley provides that back end support. I love to see a good family owned small business in Mississippi. And speaking of which, how has Mississippi, Purvis, Hattiesburg area, how have they welcomed you?
Arms wide open.
And supported you.
Yeah, I mean, arms wide open. I've got buddies in Petal, I've got buddies in Hattiesburg, and I've got buddies in Poplarville and in Purvis and Summerall that I meant are just dedicated customers. I meant repeat customers, and they just, I meant any, I never know what they're going to call me for.
And let's talk about giving back to the community and the folks that have helped you to grow and grown with you. What things do y'all do to try to help out in the community?
Oh man, we sponsor FFA, we sponsor every little cheerleader and baseball player we can. We actually sponsor a baseball team, and I'm always, I coach, and I try to put as much time as I can into stuff like that. And if I had more, I would. I would do more for the youth sports program, but I just do what I can. Hopefully in the future I can, help build some of that stuff. Some of our facilities over there need some updates, and one day I will be able to get to it. And we're going to put as much as we can, especially in our little town Purvis. I love that place.
I love Dalton when you listed all those towns. I've got buddies in here and there, and then the last one he goes, and Sumrall. The Battle of 589.
Sumrall is the best kept secret in Mississippi.
Well, look,
y'all.
The Battle of 589 between Purvis and Sumrall, that yeah, runs deep.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. I love how you and Sumrall. How would you say the business has changed the most since you started it to where you are today?
Man.
Is it the numbers in the office, or is it tech, keeping up with technology, different designs?
I mean that is a hard question to answer, and I'm trying to think.
That might be where competitors come in. Let's talk about the competitors. I know that you don't see, Shelly, you don't see Walmart or Target on a ball team sleeve, do you? Or
no.
A fence sign?
No, you don't. So
like when you got started in the business, it's one thing to say you're going to open a business, but it's a specialty business what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't just open this business knowing everything there was to know about the fencing business.
No.
So let's start there, and let me rephrase the question. If you were going to tell two business, so people who are contemplating opening a business, whatever it is, what are the top two most important things that you would tell them to think about seriously before they opened their particular business?
Well, I guess the best thing you could do is find you a guy that you love like a brother, and that's got your back, and that he's going to work just as hard as you, because that's the only way that I stay in business, is because I've built such a relationship with my guys, and we have fun at work, and we hang out after work, and we're basically like a family. So, my employees.
I think, and that's something I think gets lost in corporate America. Most people are just numbers, but small businesses, they're the lifeblood of, they make it work.
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate you guys coming on the program today. Shelly, I wish you would have not spoken so much. let the rest of us get a word in edgewise.
A little church mouse over here.
Yeah. But Dalton and Shelly, we want to wish you nothing but the best continued success.
Thank you, Dalton and Shelly. It was pure joy having y'all on the show today.
It's always great to come and be with you on Tuesday nights here on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll see you next Tuesday, or listen for you next Tuesday, as we shop local Mississippi.